Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Riggs.
That's right. It's an all-new Asylum Fantasy Sports show from AsylumFantasySports.com. Rick, it's pandemonium in the studio right now.
Yes.
Bells are ringing.
Bells are ringing.
People are scrambling. Mikhail's hiding. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, tail's wagging on the dog. I don't know what's going on here, but we are Flieger and Briggs. Welcome into the Asylum. And I tell you what, Rick, we are less than 2 weeks away from most all fantasy drafts.
It's go time, baby. Right now, it is go time.
Yeah, keep the questions coming. AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com, AsylumFootball@gmail.com, or right here on Twitter, @AsylumFootball.
That's right. You want your question answered, that's where you go, @AsylumFootball. Mr. Briggs will answer it almost instantaneously. It's impressive, Rick, how you've adopted the social media. Hey, check us out, too, Sundays, if you're in the New York area, FantasySportsNetwork.com, channel 147 on Cablevision up there in the New York area.
Not only is it the greater New York City area, it's eastern Pennsylvania, right. It is New Jersey, it is Connecticut, and southern New York as well, I believe.
Everywhere out there you can find us on all throughout the week, new shows Sunday mornings and Sunday afternoon, replays, all your boys that you can handle. And also to our Canadian friends, MTS Cable out there in Manitoba, check that out. Rick, while we're shilling, I want to give a shout-out to our boy, the fantasy Greek, Jim.
Sarantius.
Sarantius, thank you.
You ought to let me do this kind of stuff. Honestly,
just hit Amazon.com, Rick. The 2014 Pro Football Preview Guide, available in hard copy, and wouldn't be hardback because it's a magazine, plus a Kindle version of the Pro Football Preview Guide. Got everything you need for fantasy football and the NFL in general. And what makes it better, Rick? A Steelers preview from the one, the only Steelers football and fantasy football expert. You know him, you love him, Rick Flieger.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Now, that's worth the praise. Right now, Rick, it's 10% off, $13.49 in hard copy. Tell Jim, buy it, get on there, buy it, and then shoot Jim a message at the Fantasy Greek and let him know you heard about it on this show.
Yeah. Yes, sir, and tell him I know Rick Flieger.
That's right, I know Rick Flieger. You can say that.
I love Rick Flieger.
I give you permission to say, I know Rick Flieger, and he sent me your way. Now, that'll get you, he might send you an extra copy if you do this. I better not say that. People will be flooding the gym wanting a free copy, so don't do that.
They won't be loving Rick Flieger too long after that.
Well, they hate me, but I behave myself in the article.
And check out the fantasygreek.com, and he's doing a nice series of some fantasy questions, and which makes that better is the one and only, the Rick Briggs that you know and love from the Asylum is
I never
writing
heard of
on that
guy. Yeah. He sounds like a dick, though, I gotta be honest.
There you go.
All right, well, that's enough of the shilling for this week. Rick, gonna wrap up our divisional previews with the NFC North and the NFC South and the NFC West, I believe it is. We're gonna look at those. We're going to look at some headlines. There's a couple questions out there on Twitter that I thought might be worth discussing on the air, Rick. So, there we go. So,
yeah, definitely.
Let's start with the headlines, Rick. The finally, everybody can get back to work. Everybody can calm down. Brian Hoyer has been named your week one starter in Cleveland.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and it's not a surprise. I predicted Hoyer to start with. But I tell you what, after watching Johnny Manziel deer in the headlights and his immature antics later on, it doesn't surprise me a bit. He doesn't know what's going on right now.
No,
and not to say he's not going to in time, but he's facing nothing. They're the vanilla defenses of the preseason, and he looks totally lost right now. But to make matters worse, he turns around and flips the fans off. And
yeah, it was the bench, not the fans.
Or the bench,
is that a big
me.
Deal? Do you think that's a big deal?
It's – okay. We got to go through this again. We talked about this once before.
Did we?
There's been some polarizing figures in the past.
Okay.
Okay. You talk about Muhammad Ali. You talk about Joe Namath.
Uh-huh.
And
Rick Flieger.
I'm sure there's others. You polarize nothing.
So you're saying everybody hates me, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's no either or with you.
So there's no polar opposite.
But, let's face it, Muhammad Ali, he said a lot of stuff. and, you know, really pimped himself and did a lot of this. You know, I'm pretty, I'm a bad man and all this. Joe Namath, I guarantee we're going to win the Super Bowl. You know, well, Johnny Manziel, he's up there showing me the money, right. And he's out in Vegas, and he's rolling up the bills in the bathroom, and he's hanging out with all the rich and famous. One thing he hasn't remembered yet, Muhammad Ali and Joe Namath delivered the goods.
Right.
You
right.
can't go out there and look like a lost child and then get mad and have a temper tantrum.
True. As the great philosopher Kid Rock once told us, it ain't bragging, mother effer, if you back it up, I believe, in one of his tales, Rick. And that's the point. And look, I have no issue with the kid. Here's the thing why the middle finger. Look, he was horrifically unprepared. This kid is not ready to start. I don't know if it's lack of preparation, if it's lack of maturity. I don't know what it is. I don't know. You know, how many times have we... Well, that was the turkey. That was the wrong button. Let's try this one. Yeah. We're all over the... Mikel is falling down on my rankings here.
Yeah.
He has completely come undone.
First it was Pedro. Now Mikel. I don't know.
I don't know.
There it is.
Yeah,
I know. It doesn't matter now,
Mikel. Mikel's a jerk. He's wearing them skinny jeans. I don't know about this kid.
I know.
I mean, I think we gave him a pass because he was so much better than Pedro, but there's a lot.
But he's hit a comfort zone, and now it's really starting to get annoying.
Think we put him on mic someday?
No.
You're not letting him on the air.
Not when we can't even get the buttons brought up. But anyway.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. But anyway, let's get back to...
back to Johnny Manziel. Right. So... Clearly not ready to go, and I'll tell you what, the kid's got a long ways to go. You nailed it. He's going against the most vanilla defenses, and he can't read the defense. Words come out. He's having difficulty even calling the plays in the huddle. It almost feels like a lack of preparation. When you talk about the middle finger incident to the Redskins bench, I think more was made of that because it was Johnny Manziel. First of all, I think this may happen more often than we know about, and it's not always caught on camera. But the big thing for me is what these guys said to each other. Have you ever been on the field for an NFL practice or game? What these guys say to each other on a play-by-play-by-play basis is so horrific. This middle finger is really no big deal, except for the fact that Johnny Manziel did it, and it got caught on camera by ESPN. So I don't put a lot of weight into that.
Well, let's face it. Everything's caught on camera anymore.
Too.
So, you know, and I feel for the athletes and stars or whoever, you know, the rich and famous of today, because there is a camera and a microphone everywhere, and you do sort of understand. But on the same token, if you're Johnny Manziel, you have to know that there's cameras on you.
True.
And if you're going to sit there and flip off the bench, you know there's a camera there.
Programming note, Rick just flipped me off, and I don't think it was accidental either.
Well, no, that wasn't Johnny Manziel.
No, that was a separate issue right there. We're a little punchy today, Rick. I'm enjoying this show so far. We might want to cut it off now while we're on a high note.
Yeah, that's our high note. Mikel screwing up
right.
And me flipping you
throwing
you off.
Me the bird. Well, let's move off Johnny Manziel.
We got a long way to go.
Well, before we get to fantasy, Rick, I want to give a nod. Just some fantastic news, something that made my day. Follow-up exam of Jim Kelly shows right now he's cancer-free. It looks like for now he has beat cancer. And that actually made my day, Rick. Just such a good guy.
No doubt about it. It's great news. And I tell you, it's been a long time coming. He's been battling it for some time. You know, we had the opportunity to see him at the Hall of Fame weekend when we covered it. And you could tell it's been a tough battle.
Right.
And it's nice to see him at least take down round one or round two or whatever you want to call it anyway. And hopefully he can knock this thing out.
Right. Saw him there with his family, and it just looked like it's been a terrible struggle. I think you know that, and to see him really, really made that hit home. So this news absolutely made my day. Rick, Jamal Charles going to miss this weekend's preseason game. Not a big deal. Got a bruised foot. I don't think a big deal. What's a big deal to me is how he got the bruised foot. Drop the box on his foot. Leaving training camp. The Chiefs break camp. Drop the box on his foot. It begs one question. Why is Jamal Charles carrying his own box?
I agree. I mean, he shouldn't even be, you know, he should be showered, dressed in a suit of clothes and walk out and, you know, Mikel's brother back here can be loading his box and bringing it out for him.
Right, and I contend he shouldn't even be walking anywhere. He should be chauffeured from door to door. It's so that nothing. Hey, you talk about your only offensive weapon on this team. I think you put him in a glass case and you haul him around. Jamal Charles certainly doesn't carry a box. I don't think any long-term effects from this. I don't have any concern about that. Yeah, you care that Santonio Holmes was signed by the Bears. Does that move the needle for you whatsoever?
No.
Said he's been a standout at camp so far, although I think he's going to sit back down come week one.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he's – look, he added a little bit of depth and a little veteran presence there. That is certainly not going to hurt them, that's for sure. Is he going to step in and probably start over Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall? Kind of doubt it.
Right.
But, you know, he's certainly an adequate replacement for, say, an Earl Bennett.
Right.
So – you know, I mean, it's not going to hurt.
Yeah, I don't think any fantasy value there, but probably one more weapon for Jay Cutler in what's suddenly a very exciting Bears offense. My boy Rick, Geno Smith to start week one for the Jets. How do you feel about that?
You know, there's been a lot of indication that he was going to win the job outright over Mike Vick, and it certainly seems to be ringing true. Initial thought way back when we first brought up the, you know, the acquisition of Mike Vick, I kind of thought Mike Vick would get the job early, you know, just because he has much more experience and seemed to be a better overall quarterback. But from what I've seen and everything that I've read on Geno Smith, he's progressing well and is going to probably take the job outright.
And I think this probably comes down to, in watching the preseason, I don't know. I haven't been in Jets camp, obviously. But from what little bit I've seen in the preseason, I think this comes down to all things being equal, give the young guy a shot. I think that's what it is. Vic's played very well, but he hasn't outshone Geno Smith to the point where I guess they're still hoping this is their quarterback of the future, so I guess give him a shot. And there's worse places to be in to where if you're in week three and Geno Smith's struggling, you got a Michael Vick on the bench. There's a lot teams in a lot worse spots than that.
Oh, yeah, and there's the old saying, you play to the level of your competition. You bring Mike Vick in, the competition all of a sudden is ticked up a few notches over who he was going up against before. And not only that, but they're also very similar.
Right.
You know, I'm sure he's gaining a lot of knowledge from Mike Vick as well.
That being said, if I was an Eric Decker owner or looking to draft Eric Decker, I still think I'd have felt better if Mike Vick would have won that job.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean,
I think the thing Vick has that Geno Smith hasn't shown yet is some accuracy with the deep ball, and that's what Eric Decker does best, is get open and get that deep ball. So just something to watch. I don't think neither one fantasy draftable in terms of Smith or Vick, but I'm curious to see what the effects are on an Eric Decker.
Well, you know, Eric Decker, I'm looking for two things for Eric Decker in most leagues. I think he's going to get vastly overdrafted, or he's going to be a real diamond for somebody who's going to get a good value out of him. Because let's not forget, he's still a number one receiver. And what I mean by that, you know, he's the number one on the team.
Right.
He's not a WR1 in fantasy by any stretch. But you get a number one receiver, you know, from a team or a running back, whatever it may be, you get him as your wide receiver four in a fantasy team. Boy, that's pretty nice.
That's true. And could perform to a – I think the ceiling for him is a wide receiver too, Rick, but you're paying, to your point, a low-end three, a high-end four price, so could be some value there. Sammy Watkins restricted in practice, hurt some ribs there against the Steelers. Monty Ball back in non-contact drills in practice. Looking like he should be good to go for week one. I don't think that affects his draft value too much. And something that makes me nervous, Rick, more because I don't understand exactly what it means, but I've seen it linger and affect guys for good chunks of seasons. LeSean McCoy's had two MRIs on a toe. Looks like a self-described, what do you say, a little bit of turf toe or something like that.
Yeah, a small version of it or something like that.
Does that make you nervous at all? It does me, only because I've seen this take up big chunks of seasons, and I don't even understand or know what turf toe is.
Well, it raises at least a yellow flag with me, even if it's a small version using the air quotes. And if you're a running back, you do an awful lot of cutting, and you cut. What are you putting the pressure on?
Yeah, right
on
your toe.
Big toe.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not a case of turf toe and it's just something that's going to go away here real quick. And we'll know real quick. By the time season beginning, we're going to know because LeSean McCoy is either going to be good to go or he's going to be on the old dreaded probable,
game time decision.
Yeah, game
be
time
like,
decision.
His predecessor or one of his predecessors there in Philadelphia, Brian Westbrook, who was perpetually a game time decision. I hated him. I refused to own him. So that's about it for headlines, Rick. I want to get into one or two questions we have here. We have one, the most recent one, and a half point PPR. This comes from our boy Football Early Bird at the FF Early Bird. Who are you drafting, Le'Veon Bell or Andre Ellington? And I know you answered this, and I want to discuss it a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I wrote back to him, and, listen to the tolling of the bell, mister. I mean, it's Le'Veon Bell with me.
Yeah, doing a little shtick there.
Well, of course, yeah.
Ba-da-bah. We should get, what do you call that? There's a term for that.
A little drum roll or whatever that is.
I forget what it's called. We're going to get that and get Mikel to load that up on the board. I'm getting concerned. I don't want to say concerned, Rick. I'm getting bad vibes, the bad juju from Le'Veon Bell. I can see this going, Dre Archer, however you say it. I think that's purely passing. I think you're going to see him coming out of the slot. From what I've seen in the preseason, from what I'm hearing coming out of Steelers camp, from what I've viewed there, I think LeGarrette Blount's going to have a bigger role in this Steelers offense than we're thinking. And you're drafting Le'Veon Bell as a mid-tier number one running back. I'm getting a little nervous about his workload, Rick. That being said, in this question, in a PPR, I think his value is going to way exceed Ellington's in that term. But it's closer, it's Bell hands down for you. I had to think about it. I'm getting worried about Bell's workload a little bit.
I'm not really worried about it, quite frankly. I think that Le'Veon Bell, I'm going to stick by it until I see that this is not happening. I think Dre Archer is going to be a change of pace guy. He's going to be in the slot. He's going to be in motion, that kind
right.
of thing. I think he's taking carries away. That being said, I also don't think that LeGarrette Blount is just going to be hawking touchdown carries in the red zone. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be the workhorse. But I also see maybe in the second half, like the third quarter, something like that, put Blount in there for two or three series, maybe in a row. Just keep pounding away, providing you can. I mean, if you're up in the game or it's a close
right.
game, that kind of thing. Then you bring Bell back in, another more fresh legs, just keep pounding them down. I think they could really just be devastating run game that way.
I'm just wondering if LeGarrette Blount is going to be the Fred Jackson to Le'Veon Bell, C.J. Spiller. Now, there's not a ton of similarities between Bell and Spiller except in receptions, and that's why in a PPR question, I'm going to go with Bell as well. Here's right now all my concern about Bell. You have, when you get in that middle second round, the run seems to be the tier running backs there is Gio Bernard, Zach Stacy, and Le'Veon Bell. I think before I had Bell at the beginning of that run, I was going Bell, Bernard, Stacy. I think I'm flipping that around a little bit, and I'm going Bernard, Stacy, and Bell might be the third one out of that a little bit. I think he's ticked down a couple slots for me just based on my fears and the reports I've seen that LeGarrette Blount's going to get the bulk of, if not all the goal line work. There's a few, to use your term, yellow flags. I don't want to say red flags, but a few yellow flags out there that's just pushing him down a little bit on my rankings.
I see, and that's why I'm not worried about it, because I actually had him behind Bernard and Stacy
well, there you
to
go.
Start with,
right.
And I'm keeping him right there. And if anything, I can see him ticking up over Stacy. I still like Bernard. I'm actually looking for Laughlin to become a Patriot or somebody else before this season starts.
I think you can see him being cut and winding up somewhere else. I agree with that 100%. So maybe that's it. Maybe I had him too high to begin with, and now he's fallen in. Just something I'm watching, something I'm a little bit nervous about.
Well, time will tell. Just keep an eye on him. And I think if you're looking for Le'Veon Bell as a guy that's going to be, a workhorse like a Chris Johnson was or, 300 carries, no, you're not going to get that. But I think you can get 250 out of him. Easy.
And then that's a good enough workload in today's NFL.
Plus PPR. If you're in a PPR format, you also have that many more touches.
Yeah, and that's where he'll separate himself from a guy like Ellington. And look, I don't got the warm and fuzzies about Ellington. If you'd have put up a different name, the answer might have been different for me. I don't buy into Ellington necessarily. I really don't. I think he's being overdrafted right now.
Well, yeah, I think so. But you know what? I think a lot hinges on the Cardinal running game as far as their offense goes. And, you know, I mean, we talk about Fitzgerald and Floyd and Carson Palmer can still get it down the field. But I think they need that legitimate run game or Palmer's not going to have the time to get down it. He can't run.
No, he ain't going anywhere.
Unless the Cardinals can, you know, it doesn't really much matter.
Right, right. So, Ray, that's an interesting one. Le'Veon Bell's going to be a guy. I'm going to be watching tomorrow night the Steelers' third preseason game in Philadelphia. I'll be watching that one closely.
Yes.
Hope maybe we can get some insight into what the distribution of carries is going to be. I don't know how much you can take from a preseason game. I just want to see how much work Le'Veon Bell's getting. Because I think they're going to look – I think the Steelers are a pass-first team, Rick, number one.
I agree 100%. But let's not – you know, that's one thing that when people say that, sometimes I get a little hot under the collar. You know, I mean, the Colts were always a pass-first team. But I tell you what, they had a number one running back there by the name of Edgerrin James and Marshall Faulk before him. They were top-notch fantasy guys.
True.
You go out to Kurt Warner, the greatest show on turf, oh, that's pass first. Well, they also had Marshall Faulk out there.
Right.
And you can go a lot of these, you can go back to the K gun with Buffalo. Thurman Thomas caught a lot of passes. And, I mean, you know, these pass first offenses still have very viable run games.
True, true. So something to keep an eye on, Rick. Well, let's jump into it. Boy, used up a lot of the show already. Let's take a look. Let's start with the NFC South. You know, the one thing you know, last year Carolina won it, so they will finish last this year. Write that down. Who finished last, Atlanta or Tampa?
Well,
doesn't matter. Atlanta's
look,
winning.
They both suck. Yeah. You know.
Atlanta's winning the division this year. There's no doubt in my mind. So let's start out. We figure rather than just going through the teams, let's rank them within the division. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Let's rank, you know, individually and the tandems. Let's start with the quarterback position. I don't think there's any argument there. Drew Brees, obviously the best quarterback in the NFC South.
Yeah, there's no question about that in my mind. And, you know, when I rank these, actually had a little change of heart from, you know, 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, Drew Brees, number one, no problem. I bet if we did this 2-3 weeks ago, I'd have Matt Ryan at second. I got Cam Newton second again.
Wow, okay. I got
Cam
Matt
Newton's
Ryan at
looking
second.
Pretty good. I mean, I think his foot's fine, and I'm starting to warm up to the Calvin Benjamin thing, and I think he's built. I'm almost convinced, you know, and I may be wrong. I'm still going to watch them. But I think that this purging of the wide receivers – may have been a blessing in disguise. Everybody, us included, oh, that's ridiculous. I mean, he has no rapport with any of these guys. That may be a good thing.
Could be, because he didn't have any legitimate weapons there to begin with.
They come onto this team. You have Jericho Cotchery, you know, nice veteran presence, and actually had a good, you know, year last year with Pittsburgh, but he's nothing flashy. He's going to do his job, and he's going to be like a calming effect on that core. You got Jason Abbott, who's never been a number one receiver, and preliminarily
but always
was going
a nice
to
complimentary
be,
piece.
Always a complimentary piece, right. But, you know, I think Benjamin's going to end up as the guy taking the top coverage. But initially, he was going to be the number one guy, and that really put, you know, butterflies in my stomach because I wasn't, you know, like you said, a complimentary piece taking some top coverage. I didn't know about that. But I think, you know, they're all looking. This is a new opportunity, and Cam Newton is their leader. And I think that this is going to evolve into a real positive.
What it comes down to for me is this. Is Cam Newton going to have the autonomy and the willingness to run like he did in the past. He's only going to throw for 3,500 yards, Rick. He's not going to throw a ton of touchdowns. He's going to turn the ball over a little bit. Where he becomes a top five fantasy quarterback is when he's rushing for touchdowns, when he's rushing for 60, 70 yards a game. He's taken a beating. They're working on him staying in the pocket a little bit. If he goes away from his strength, which happens to a lot of these guys, you know, Michael Vick would have flashes and he'd have bad years. These type of quarterbacks have a way. Basically, it comes down to, is Cam Newton Michael Vick or is he Steve Young? And I'm not sure yet. What I do know, jumping back up, who I have it to is Matt Ryan. Simply based, look, interception's a big issue. He had a rough year last year. Still threw for almost 5,000 yards.
No doubt.
It was a lack of weapons. You bring back Roddy White, you bring back Julio Jones, all of a sudden, and a Harry Douglas, who how many games in a row caught 9, 10, 11 balls, now is your third receiver. Matt Ryan's got some weapons around him. Matt Ryan, I think, bounces back big, and he's a guy I'm targeting. You can get so late, and I think he can finish in the top 7 or 8.
I'm targeting him too, Rick. And if anybody have him second, you know, as opposed to me having him second or third right behind Newton, I'm not going to argue. It's very close for me even now. But I don't know. I'm thinking that Cam Newton is just – he reminds me a lot of Dante Culpepper. And if he, you know, falls apart as quick as Culpepper did, so be it. But until then, I want to draft this guy.
Right.
And, you know, and I have Ryan at third and, of course, Josh McCown fourth, you know, for Tampa Bay. Now, running backs, who do you have at number one?
Right now, I have Pierre Thomas, Rick, at number one. I have not a lot of huge running back depth in this NFC South.
No, there's not. And I don't have Thomas first. I have Doug Martin.
Oh, so I have him third. I'm that scared of Doug Martin.
I'm a bit scared of Doug Martin, but with the injuries they've suffered, I got to go with them.
And if he's healthy and he gets the workload, it's going to be workload dependent for Doug Martin. Because they have the other weapons. I know Rainey, I believe it was Rainey who went down. They have some injuries there. You know, Doug Martin, if you remember, in 2012, the big year, he did most of that in five or six games. He'd get 35, 40 carries, and he bust off a couple hundred yards. There wasn't a lot of average in 4.5 yards a carry getting it done on 20 carries. Look, they're sort of lacking in other offensive weapons, so they're probably going to have to run the ball. It's looking like he's going to get a bigger chunk of it. This is more in the gut, Rick. I got a bad feeling about Doug Martin. He just makes me nervous. I'm not going to own him, maybe at my own peril. I'm not going to own Doug Martin in any of my leagues.
I think from my perspective, we're ranking them in the division. I think I have a far better chance of getting Pierre Thomas than Doug Martin. I think Doug Martin's going to go much higher than I'm willing to pay. Now, Pierre Thomas, I have him right now as number two, but he's starting to tick down just a little bit. Mark Ingram's looking good. He's actually third in the depth chart. I'm talking about Thomas officially in the running back thing, or running back depth chart right now. And the Saints are basically... they're almost committing to Ingram. I mean, this is his last year to contract. They didn't pick up that option, and it's his to make or break.
I think, though, in a PPR format, when the lights go on and it counts, I think, how many times have you seen this from the Saints? Chris Ivory,
right.
Name some of these guys. They're going to work these second and third guys, Tavares Cadet, in some preseason, just put up amazing numbers. In a PPR format, Pierre Thomas, once the lights go on, he's going to be making catches. He's going to run 60% of the carries. I think it's going to be PPR. It's going to be receiving. Yeah, this is a 60-70 catch a season kind of guy. I think Pierre Thomas, I hope he starts to tick down a little bit because you're already getting a fantastic value
on
him. If I can get better value, boy, I'll take it.
And like I said, I have him at number two in the division. Number three was very tough because, like you said, it's starting to – I mean, it's not very deep division. After watching Jonathan Stewart the other night, you know, looking good, 2 touchdowns, so forth, you know, I'm still – I'm not buying into him, but I still have to throw D'Angelo Williams. about my third running back. He seems to always somehow fit it. You talk about Doug Martin doing it all in a few games.
Right.
You know, D. Will kill you, but he always ends up top 15 or 20 in running back scoring.
I don't understand it. I'd only sold his soul. I don't know where the numbers come from, but it happens. Look, I don't want any part of that Panthers running game whatsoever. Look, I'll end up with D'Angelo on all my teams because I always
you
do.
You always do.
It never fails. It's what happens to me. But you know, Jonathan Stewart, I'm not buying. I hope he has the best preseason in the history of NFL.
I'm not
he
buying
will be
into
hurt.
What I'm trying, the point I'm trying to make, you notice I didn't take Jonathan Stewart. The
right.
point I'm trying to make is Carolina showed the propensity to run the ball. And D'Angelo Williams is still going to be the guy.
Who'd you say?
And
D'Angelo?
One thing that I cannot take is Steven Jackson in Atlanta. He's already pulled up with a hammy, okay? Ingram, we already talked about the Pierre Thomas thing. There's nobody left. And it makes perfect sense to have D'Angelo Williams as a third-ranked running back in that division.
Well, I'm done with S-Jax. I'll give you that. I'm intrigued by the upside of Devontae Freeman, Rick. That's why I wrote down, I didn't write Steven Jackson third. I wrote down the Falcons. I think
lame.
What do you mean, lame?
What are you going to do, draft the whole team and then say, oh, gee, well, I got that one right? No.
Yeah. Well,
no,
you got to hedge your bets in this business, Rick, first of all. That's something
you
got to learn.
Go ahead and draft that backfield, okay? I'll take my shot with D-Will,
but
and
Devontae,
then I'll go get somebody else.
I think in the late rounds, and I think you can get both these guys in the same spot, I would rather take the upside of Devontae Freeman than what I know I'm going to get out of D-Will. That's what I'm saying. I think S-Jax can't stay healthy. If Devontae Freeman gets his job, look how well Michael Turner did in a very similar offense. Similar to what we were
Which
talking about.
Which is surprising how they can't seem to run anymore.
Right, yeah. And I think you know, Steven Jackson, he's beat up. It's just over for him. He's hit that running back wall. So I'm throwing him out. So it comes down to me, Devontae Freeman. And, again, I'm throwing out Jonathan Stewart and D-Will. Give me the upside of Freeman. I know what I'm getting out of D-Will, which is 10 weeks of heartbreak and then trying to pick the right 5 or 6 weeks to play him. I don't want any part of that. Give me the upside of Devontae Freeman. That's why I'll slide him in at third.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, no problem. We're going to pause here right now. We have a pretty extensive question in the chat room.
Ooh, all right.
If we don't answer it, we'll totally forget it.
Okay,
so,
well, let's do it. Let's just hop right in.
And this is from Willie B. Man, who used to be Mighty Riot. So,
oh,
I mean, he's an old friend of the asylum.
A name change.
Okay, 1 point PPR.
All right.
Okay, he's keeping Demaryius Thomas in exchange for his third-round pick.
Obvious.
Okay.
Nice move.
Got the second pick in the draft. That's good. I will be looking at Calvin, Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, Mr. Graham, A.J. Green, and Mr. Marshall. Who do I take with the second pick? And better yet, maybe rank those guys since one of them will be taken by the guy with the first pick.
Okay, let me take a minute, and then we'll write all of this down.
He's using hieroglyphics, and it takes a long time to draw these pictures.
Yeah, I'm not smart.
No.
All right, here's how I'm going to rank them, Rick, and then we'll decide if this is how I'd actually draft.
Okay.
Calvin, 1. Lacy, 2. Marshall, 3. Green, 4. Graham, 5. Lynch, 6. That's what order I have those guys in.
Okay, I'm going to rank them. I think I would go Calvin, Marshall, Lacy, Graham, Green, Lynch.
All right, so we're pretty close.
Yeah.
We're within reason there.
Yeah.
So
and
we
I mean,
both got Calvin one.
Now, with that being said, there's another comment in the chat room, and I tend to agree. It's hard to pass up on Eddie Lacy, who is a premier back.
Right.
You know, going into this situation because – because as you can tell, it's keeper league. You don't see Charles. You don't
right.
see McCoy,
right.
any of these guys.
Right.
It is hard to pass up on Eddie Lacy.
But here's why, for every reason you just said, here's why I'm willing to do it. Number one, in a PPR format, if I can walk out of there with Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson, I'm feeling pretty good. There's only four or five premier backs, Rick. I think you can overcome. I can't believe I'm saying this goes against everything we've screamed into these same microphones for four seasons now. I'm going to let Eddie Lacy go, and I'm going to stock up on the Zach Stacys, the Reggie Bushes. There's some guys I think are going to finish as number one backs that are being drafted as middle number twos. I think if the base of my team is Demaryius Thomas and Calvin Johnson, right down 45 to 50 points a week right there. I can cobble together enough of a running back stable. As much as I'd like to have Lacy, there's more question marks. If there's a question mark with Eddie Lacy, and I'm not sure there is, but there's more of a question mark with him, there is no question mark with Calvin Johnson. So I think it's a no-brainer. If you can walk away with both of these guys. Now, if Calvin's gone, I go ahead and pull the trigger on Lacy, and I'll let Marshall and Green slide, because I think you're moving off to a slightly lower tier when you get into Marshall and Green. I think Calvin, Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant are sort of in age, and for me, Julio Jones are in a tier by themselves. So if Calvin's there, walk away with that tandem. You can put the running back core together. We'll help you put that running back core together. If not, then go ahead, and I don't feel bad either walking away with Thomas and Stacy if Calvin goes with the first pick.
Yeah, I'm there with you on Calvin. It is very hard to pass up on Lacy. I would, you know, I rank that Calvin, Marshall, Lacy, they're almost 2A, 2B to me.
Right.
So, I mean, if you went with Lacy or Marshall, really, in that situation, say Calvin went in the first pick, flip a coin with me, and I put Jimmy Graham right behind them, then Green, then Lynch, and that's me there. So, yeah, I think we're in agreement with Calvin. That being said, boy, I'll tell you what.
It hurts.
It is. It's tough to pass up on stuff like that.
Well, I tell you, Rick, the league, my legacy league, the one I've been in, the first league I was ever in and that I'm still in now, it's one keeper. You don't have to give up a pick. The way this league works is you declare your keepers a week out. This draft's actually Saturday, so we will find out as of close of business tomorrow, whatever that is. We take the top 200 of, I don't know, they pick a site every year, and you draft in reverse order of where your keepers ranked. I always thought that was an interesting way to do it. I had Dez Bryant and Eddie Lacy on that team. And, boy, you don't know who everyone else is keeping until, you know, the commissioner's the only one who knows until it gets revealed. I kicked that one around, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, and I finally had to have it in today. I sent this morning. I kept Dez Bryant. I think this is a year with these dynamic wide receivers. To the same point, you know, with the listener in the chat room, I think I can put together running backs in the second and third round, first, second, and third rounds in a keeper league, which to me equates to the second and third rounds. I went with Dez Bryant, but I'll tell you what, I didn't sleep well last night, and it's still stuck in the back of my head. I hope I don't regret letting Lacy go.
I think this
is the year, these dynamic wide receivers, these Dez Bryants, that tier of receiver, I couldn't let him go. So I was in a very similar situation to this.
Yeah, it's tough. And one thing to bear in mind, when you're doing snake drafts like that and you're drafting early, the second round you're drafting late. So a lot of times that makes you – I don't know, it almost makes you like a rabbit. You get a little scared. But bear in mind also that if you let's say you drafted Lacy and you think, well, you know, now I'm not going to get a receiver or whatever, it works both ways. These guys that kept the running backs, they're going to be drafting the receivers,
right.
Vice versa. You draft Calvin and – you know, whoever they're keeping, they're getting something else.
Right.
And yeah, there's going to be top guys going off the board, but you get back, you're going to have what? Next to the last pick in the second, then the second pick. So you got two picks within four.
Take two running backs there, the highest two on your rankings. You know, check out our rankings.
Whichever decision you do go, if you go Calvin or if you go Lacy, double up on the next. Well, you may not have to double if you have wide receiver, running back. You could go running back, wide receiver again, and then you're even, however you want to do it.
And I think in looking at this, if Eddie Lacy is the only guy he's considering, you know, outside of Lynch, and I throw him out at the running back position, that tells you obviously Peterson, Forte, Charles, McCoy, those guys were obviously all kept. There's four there. I think those are guys that are probably targeting wide receivers. Now you're picking late coming back down, but I think you shore up those two, you know, top five guys at one position, two top three guys maybe at one position. You can give a little bit up at the running back. You know, get too early, plan on playing a receiver in your flex because there's a huge, huge receiver value down in the fifth and sixth rounds. I think you have the makings of a good team. And look, if Calvin goes, which is probably likely, if Calvin ends up going with that first pick, then hey, then you got Eddie Lacy, you got top five at the two main positions, and you roll from there and just see where the draft takes you.
Yeah, I agree. So let's roll on to NFC South wide receiver rankings, and we're rolling right along, so we're going to have to get moving here. And I tell you what, Rick, I've got one and two. I've got Atlanta.
Oh,
I've got Julio Jones and Roddy White, buddy.
No question about it.
I mean, to me, the top three are elite wide receivers. I got Jones, White, and B-Jax. And then the tier after that just drops off.
Oh, big time.
So who do you have? Let's progress accordingly.
I got it right there. I got Jones. I've got actually B-Jax 2. I got Roddy White 3, although I think they may be interchangeable. I think Roddy White in a better situation than B-Jax right now. Although McCown, and we didn't talk about him when we talked about the quarterbacks.
True.
Guy threw 13 touchdowns and one pick in limited work last year. This guy, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
now,
with Mike Evans on the other side of B-Jax, he certainly has some weapons. Now, and if Doug Martin pans out,
I think that'll be the question. And then, Rick, I did it again. I know how you feel about this. After that, I just wrote Saints. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? That's the problem with the Saints.
Okay, I'm a man. Oh. I wrote it down.
I'm a man. As he holds up his legal pad.
Right
I see
there.
It. I'm a man.
I have
man.
Colston, then I have Cooks, then I have Calvin Benjamin, then I have Evans, then Stills, and Jason Avant. I do it right, damn it.
I don't know how to respond
to that. I like
the
Saints, and then I like Carolina, and then, Tampa. You know, God.
Well, what I'm saying is here's the problem with the Saints. Each week.
Oh, it's terrible. You're
each
right.
Each week, a Saint will be the fourth best wide receiver in the division, and maybe in the league. You just don't know who it's going to be. Colston, maybe. Love Kenny Stills. You know, love what the rookie's been doing. I don't know, Rick. That's the problem I have right now with the Saints. That's why Colston goes so low. You just don't know. Somebody's going to go off, whichever side Drew Brees decides to pick on. That side's going to go off. For me, it's nearly impossible to rank. I want to have all these guys, but to line them up against each other amongst themselves, I don't know who it is.
No, it is tough, and, you know, that's a testament to Jimmy Graham.
Oh, well, then bingo. There it is right there.
That's exactly what it is. He's taken...
Maybe Jimmy Graham should be the number one ranked wide receiver
in
his division.
He's a tight end, officially.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
We don't want to get sued, I guess.
No, you're right, and it's tough. And I have Calvin Benjamin as a top-ranked Panther wide receiver. I think this kid... You know, I said it before, he's the first big guy they've had since Mushin Muhammad, and that's what they need is a big, big receiver. And the guy looks pretty good. I like him.
I think by default, he's going to get 10 targets a game. So if he's hauling the ball in, and if preseason's any indication, has a good rapport with Cam Newton, this guy, for all the talk of Sammy Watkins, for all the talks of Cooks right here in this same division, I think this might be the rookie who emerges this year as the number one fantasy rookie, just by virtue of being in the best situation.
Yeah, I agree. I was high on him on draft day when he went to Carolina, and I think he's going to pan out good. Let's move on to the West.
Go West, young man.
Okay, let's do quarterbacks. Now, you know, quarterbacks in the NFC West, to me, Rick, are a lot like running backs in the South. It's not that thrilling to me.
Mediocrity.
I have Russell Wilson number one. I think Russell Wilson... With a the head case and possibly slight decline in Marshawn Lynch. And if Percy Harvin stays healthy for more than six games, I think the tools are there. I mean, you know, I was listening to, and I wish I could remember his name. He's out in Seattle. He was a beat writer talking about Russell Wilson, and every indication, and he is ready for it. If Pete Carroll says we're going pass first, he's ready for it. He's got the arm. He's got the intelligence. And I just think this kid has all the tools. He's just so mature beyond his years. He's
right.
A Super Bowl champion
already,
you know, and he's just very impressive. And for that reason, I have him as number one. He's mobile. He can throw accurately, and he's smart. He doesn't turn the ball over that much.
Right. I'm right there with you, and if they run that read option, I think he runs it better than Colin Kaepernick. In terms of Kaepernick's going to have his games where he rushes for 60, 70 yards. I don't think Russell Wilson does that. I think Russell Wilson looks to the pass more often than Kaepernick coming off that read option. But Wilson does it better. He's more accurate. You know, I worry about his weapons. To your point, Percy Harvin, love what he can do, but can he stay healthy? Then what? And we'll get into that when we get to the wide
receiver.
Kaepernick
has more weapons.
Kaepernick's
That's
got a ton of weapons. But Russell Wilson, it's close between Wilson and Kaepernick for me. Give the nod to Wilson because head-to-head, Wilson keeps getting it done. Wilson's wearing the ring, so I'll give him there. Kaepernick, is there a more overhyped guy in fantasy football and maybe in the NFL than Colin Kaepernick? He has some spectacular games, and he has some games where he doesn't even look like – he looks like Johnny Manziel did on Monday night.
Yeah, and San Francisco just looked horrid so far in preseason, which isn't – you know, we all know it's not an indication of what the team's going to be like. But, you know, you can start getting, you know, a little bit of the indication. You know, I like Kaepernick, and I did – did some research on him. Apparently, you know, that little foot injury that supposedly was, you know, using the air quotes last year, nothing, was a lot more significant than what we thought. So, you know, I have him very close to Russell Wilson. I'm with you. I still think he's overhyped until I see more out of him fantasy-wise. You know, I'm not knocking the guy as a quarterback. Look, they've made the Super Bowl, and they've
right.
been... And
he's a winner. But he doesn't put
up
fantasy
numbers. Let's get off topic just for a second.
Well, let's do that.
Why is Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat? You know, I saw this big article on one of these things, CBS.com or NFL. Or something. Jim Harbaugh is one of the coaches on the hot seat. Why? Just because he lost the Super Bowl?
Well.
And I get it. I can't stand him. And, you know, maybe some of these Niner fans in the chat room might have a little different you know, opinion of Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he's not a likable guy, but as far as that goes, I just don't see why he would be on the hot seat because I think he's done nothing but win.
Right. I think here's what it is. You can be a great coach and a Super Bowl runner-up and be a nice guy and keep your job. You can be a Super Bowl champion and an a-hole and keep your job. You can't be third or fourth place in an a-hole and keep your job. And let's face it, Jim Harbaugh is an a-hole. And he's got to be a nightmare for ownership. And I think that's what it comes down to. If they are wearing rings right now, and look, there's what, two, 3 years in a row in the NFC Championship game, one runner-up in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Look, he finds ways to win, but I think if you want to act like he acts, if you want to be as big of an a-hole as he is, you better bring the ring home.
And there is, you know, there is a good comment in the chat room that San Francisco, you remember, it kind of gets forgotten once we start paying attention to football. You know, in the off season, you know, they thought he was wanting out of there, you know, interviewing for whatever job it was, I believe it was, or was up for consideration.
Right.
And they thought he wanted out of San Francisco. And, you know, I had actually forgotten about that. So, you know, I have no problem with, you know, Jim Harbaugh's coaching job. That's for sure. But let's get back to, you know, Kaepernick and Wilson, I think are very, very close. I'm giving the edge to Wilson. And I tell you what, in my mind right now with Floyd, I mean, and if the running game picks up with the Cardinals, the way this division shakes out, I mean, you know, we saw some real fireworks in this division last year. Palmer's not that far behind these guys. He can't run. I understand that. But he has two really good receivers. If the running game gets going, you can use Ellington, you know, to catch passes out. We know he can throw well over 4,000 yards
right.
on less than stellar teams. You know, he's not that far fantasy-wise behind these guys.
Only by virtue of the division he plays in am I going to disagree with you a little bit there, Rick. I know you're relatively, and you're not over the top, but you're relatively high on Carson Palmer. Skill-wise and the weapons he has around him, I want to agree with you. But he's going to play six games against 49ers defense, the Seahawks defense, and a suddenly really scary Rams defense. To your point, he can't move.
Right.
He's going to be on his back a lot.
He couldn't move last year. They were 10-6, and that was the first year.
Yeah, was Carson Palmer all that fantasy relevant?
Not all that bad. You keep padding, and I'll check him out.
So my point is, if he was in the NFC South, I think Carson Palmer, you know, might be in that tier with Ben Roethlisberger and Andy Dalton as far as fantasy quarterbacks. He falls below that for me. Just the sheer amount of stud games he's going to play against stud defenses, his inability to move, and we'll get into it with the running backs, an unproven running game.
He has to get away from the picks. There's no question about that. And
he loves
to
throw interceptions.
That's been his bugaboo for a while. I mean, I'm looking at 4,500 yards, 28 touchdowns, and maybe 16, 17 picks from Carson Palmer.
Okay, so that's a solid number two quarterback. You don't want him as your number one, but it's a solid two.
But, you know, and I look fantasy-wise last year, just in the format, I pulled up, you know, the NFL.com, the League of Consequence that we use, their scoring. He was right behind Colin Kaepernick by, about 40 points.
Right.
Divide that by 13 games, not that far behind him. Russell Wilson, he's a little farther behind him there. So, you know, but I think he's going to improve some this year.
So something to keep an eye on there, probably talking about QB2s. Then wrap it up with Sam Bradford. Boy, I wish this kid was on another team in another division. I've seen flashes from him. I think this kid could get it done. Coming off that injury, not a ton of weapons there. Playing against those defenses, I don't think there's much conversation there. Let's jump to the running backs, Rick. I struggled with this one only because I am so scared of what Marshawn Lynch has become this offseason. But as you rank him in that division, I know you're high on Zach Stacy, but I still think Marshawn Lynch is the best running back in this division.
Yeah, I got Marshawn Lynch, Zach Stacy, Andre Ellington, Carlos Hyde fourth.
That's where I'm at. I got Hyde slash Gore. Yeah, we're going to have to see what transpires there.
I'm not convinced Gore or Hyde are going to be a dominant running back for that team.
Not individually, no.
That's what I mean. I think the running game is going to be great, quite frankly. And, you know, is this the year that Gore starts going down, or is he just, you know, the NFC's version of Fred Jackson? He just never gets tired, and he just keeps on going.
It's starting to look that way.
I know, and that's the thing. He, you know, he has been killing people and helping people for the last 3 years. He's been writing him off.
Right.
So
let's jump up. Stacy, I think he is what he is as long, you know, in that Fisher offense. He's going to be a workhorse. He's going to get the ball if he can stay healthy. I like what Zach Stacy does. I have him on that second tier, the middle of that second tier, mid-second round of running backs. Andre Ellington's a guy I want to spend a minute on, Rick. When did he become Walter Payton? How many questions do we field about Andre Ellington? You're going to have to show me.
A lot.
You're going to have to show me. I'm not buying in yet. If I can get him at the right value, I'll take the risk there. But boy, he's a low end two, maybe more of a high three to me. Now he could pan out, but how many of these guys have gone through Arizona the last 4 or 5 years, Rick? They'll just start to list them off. When Rashard Mendenhall went there last year, Beanie Wells, they bring all these guys in, they're the next big thing, and they don't pan out. Ellington had some flashes last year. he's going to have to show me before I'm drafting him as an RB2, and that's where he's going right now. So I'm not going to be an Andre Ellington owner, and I'm not going to recommend him, you know, coming off that answer at the top of the show. I'm not recommending him over the Bernards, the the Stacey's.
Not a chance.
These are the guys he's being mentioned with, and he's not on that tier for me
right now. And we have to go back to the point that you made earlier. Six games against St. Louis, Seattle, and San Francisco.
Bingo. It's not easy for anybody.
And, you know, yeah, who was that a couple years ago? Williams.
What was Williams' first name? He can't stay healthy, but
yeah,
he was the next big one.
He got tore up, yeah, all the time. Mendenhall was just a loser.
Well, he's a head case.
Yeah.
And Beanie Wells.
Ryan Williams.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's get on to wide receivers. We're running out of time very quickly here. Go.
Floyd and Fitz, number one. Yeah.
Floyd, number one? Or are we going Arizona?
I'm going Arizona.
Oh, come on.
I wrote Fitz slash Floyd because I don't know which one it's going to be, Rick.
Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Fitz.
Okay.
Fitz is number
That's
one.
That's who I have.
I'm a man,
Good. I have Fitzgerald number one. And I got Floyd number two. I got Crabtree three.
Give me Crabtree, too.
Okay, I mean, that I really wrestled with that one, quite frankly. But
close enough. That's fine. Yeah. And then give me Floyd, three. Although, you know what? He's going to have to show me, too. I heard this a lot last year from him, and now he's been anointed the next great wide receiver in fantasy football. He's going to have to show it to me. I don't know, Rick, if that Cardinals offense is going to be – we talked about this a little last week. I don't remember what show it was on. I don't see that offense as being dynamic enough to support both of those guys, to have them 1 and 2 or even 1 and 3, even within the division. I'm not ready to commit to Floyd just yet. I'm really not. I understand
That's a fair point. I mean, we're talking about, Carson Palmer. Of course, fantasy-wise, he's not going to gain anything on the ground. He's still going to out-throw these other two.
Oh, no
and
question.
Especially Russell Wilson, the lack of weapons that he has. You know, Kaepernick certainly has a lot more weapons than Wilson does. And I tell you what, the more I think about it, you know, it may be Kaepernick for me as far as quarterback, slightly over Wilson. I just like Wilson much better as an NFL quarterback, but I think fantasy-wise, Kaepernick has more weapons than Wilson's going to this year. But anyway, that's irrelevant. Who do you have at four?
At four, Rick, I'm sticking with Anquan Boldin. I think as that offense, I think it runs through Boldin. I think Crabtree has the highest upside, but Boldin coming out of that slot, being that safety net, I like what Boldin can do, and I still think down around the end zone, he's going to get his touchdowns. He's hard to cover coming out of the slot by a linebacker. I still like Boldin.
You know, I wish I had them here, but I just don't have them. I wish we had it on the board. Okay, this, you know. Picture this. You can see me doing it.
All right. I hope you're rolling dice because I could go one of two ways, Rick. Thank God.
I'm rolling dice.
All right. That could have gone.
Dice.
There's another way that could have gone.
I'm rolling dice.
Show. All right.
Okay.
Roll those dice.
Percy Harvin.
Hey, I had a guy ranked in the top 10 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm going Percy Harvin as my fourth, and only because you really have to roll the dice hard, hoping he stays healthy enough to be fantasy relevant.
Right.
And, I mean, but everything that I've seen...
If he stays healthy enough, he might finish number one in this division.
Well, yeah, there's no question.
If he plays 16 games, he will be the best wide receiver in the division.
Yeah, but we just never see that, and that's where the dice come in. But, you know, so far in camp, he has looked wonderful. You know, he said he's found gears he didn't even know he had. He says his body has never felt this good. He just, I would say, and of course, he's ready to blow an Achilles probably tomorrow. But still, right now,
right.
I'm going Percy Harvin.
Yeah. It's a guy I'm going to be targeting at the right value. In the fifth, sixth round, if I can get him in a place where if I miss 8 or 9 games with him, I can recover. I just put him behind guys. Based on the injury, I try not to rank based on injury concern, but Percy Harvin's one of those guys you have to. After that, Rick, I got Tavon Austin. I think towards the end of the year, they started finding ways to get Tavon Austin the ball in space, and he started making plays. It opened up for him in the receiving game. Rick's making that weird hand gesture again.
Yeah. Trying to come up with dice noise.
Come
I'm
on,
not,
Mikel, where are you
I'm
at on this
doing,
one?
Yeah.
But Tavon Austin's a guy, and I think I know which way you're going that you got your dice up. I think Tavon Austin has a chance to break out a little bit this year.
Number five, Kenny Britt.
I knew it was
Kenny
coming,
Britt,
dude.
Buddy.
You're all in on Kenny Britt.
I'm telling you.
You sure he's not in jail right now?
No, he's
he
not.
He might be being arrested as we speak.
I just read a thing. He's in camp, and he's fine.
All right.
Okay, I mean,
he's not over yet.
He had a stinger. Everything's cool. No big deal. He's healthy. All right. The guy's big. You know what he can do.
Oh, no question.
And I'm telling you, I'm just rolling dice on these guys this year, and I'll probably – am I targeting him? No, but since we're just ranking them and predicting them, I'm willing to – I'll tell you what. If we were in later rounds where you start building your championships or whatever, and say it's whatever round it is, and you go
– 10, 11, 12. That's where he's going.
Yeah, I mean, right now, certainly. But if I had to pick between him and Anquan Boldin, I'm gambling on Kenny Britt.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. No,
I've got him over
that.
Boldin.
Wow. Yeah.
And because I think big things from Crabtree are coming.
Yeah, and I expect that from Crabtree. I think Boldin fills such a different role. He fills the role that Vernon Davis, God, I blanked on his name. He fills the role that Vernon Davis, I think you expect him to fill. Once Anquan Boldin got out there, he was able to put that together. So, yeah, Britt, I have in that conversation. Doug Baldwin's a guy I might take a late-round flyer on. It seems like Pete Carroll wants to throw the ball a little more, assuming Percy Harvin's going to get hurt at some point. You know, Doug Baldwin, may have an opportunity to get downfield a little bit and make some plays. So, Rick, we have blown over time already. We're in overtime now, and I don't reckon you're going to pay me time and a half, so I think it's about time to get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, tight ends, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Jimmy Graham, Greg Olson in the South,
Vernon Davis
in the West.
And even then, I think he's overdrafted. What happens is when that tight end run happens, you're going to see Graham go early. Gronk's going earlier and earlier as the news is better coming out. And then you start to see that next tier of tight ends go, and Vernon Davis is going to get wrapped up in that. And I think he's going to get drafted two or three rounds higher than his value just because of what he's supposed to be. And until the playoffs, come the playoffs, he'll catch 8-10 balls a game and get in the end zone. But until then, he just has ways of disappearing in the regular season.
Yeah, and getting back to the South, I mean, I really like Tim Wright, tight end for Tampa last year, what he did. But they turned around, they drafted Safarian Jenkins, and then they picked up Brandon Myers. And now you're starting to hear rumblings of Wright actually being moved, into the slot and that kind of thing. So, that's just another dimension there with Tampa Bay. I mean, I think they're going to have a brutal defense, quite frankly, whenever it's all said and done. And this division, to me, is interesting.
Yeah, it'll be one to watch, and it's the one that always flips on its head. So anything can happen down there in the South. All right, Rick, well, let's wrap it up. I don't know about you, but I am absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, it is. And Mikel, with his failing abysmally, we carried, persevered on.
I carry this show on my shoulders, as always. Thanks for nothing, Mikel. So that's it. We will be back next Wednesday, same time, same channel, 7 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out Sundays, fantasysportsnetwork.com, or if you're in the New York or Canadian areas, check us out, Cablevision Channel 147, MTS Cable.
And your viewing pleasure, in a few weeks, we will be on television, on not just audio, we will be video in those areas, and more velvet to your eyes and ears.
Yeah, you see why we have faces for radio, why we started in radio. And hey, real quick before we get out of here, go to asylumfantasysports.com. Finally got all the pictures posted and the two shows we did, the Fantasy Sports Network show and a special bonus show we recorded out at the Hall of Fame. We've got audio from post-game from the Hall of Fame game. We got Eli Manning. We got Rashard Jennings. We've got E.J. Manuel. Go check that out. Lots of great information there, a lot of up close. We've got interviews with all of this year's Hall of Fame class. I think you really enjoy it. Asylum Fantasy.
I know I did.
Yeah, asylumfantasysports.com to check that out. Until next week, we'll see you.
Take care.
stink, Michelle. We need to find some other third world country to find a producer.
Nah, he's an engineer.
Oh, an engineer. Is that what we're calling him now?
Yeah.
That's giving the kid a lot of credit.
Well,
I really think we should bring him on the air. Make him atone for his act.
No.
Hey, he's shaking his head. He wants on the air bad. That's why he took his job. He figured you were going to die soon, and he was going to slide right in.
Oh, no.
That's not going to happen, hippie.
No, I'm just in my prime, Mikel.
Stop wearing skinny jeans, and maybe we'll talk.
Yeah, and red shoes.
What's with the red shoes?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's Dorothy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. He thinks he's Dorothy.
Yeah.
What a jerk. Yeah, maybe if this was a pay position, we could get somebody competent.
Well, paid, you know. I mean, I gave him a Coke over there a little while ago.
You didn't
charge
him.
No, that's plenty.
Kid doesn't appreciate anything.
No, he made us hit the wrong button.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. All right, we'll
Let's get out of here.